God bless you all. Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 3. Many of you, we were gathered Sunday at Jack and Mary's home in Northvale, and we started a teaching series, or really it was a continuation of the teaching series I started about 5 weeks ago, concerning the new birth. But this past Sunday, we did the first part of a study of man's dominion. And this will be concluding teaching to it. If you have not heard the first part of this, it will serve you well to do that. But by way of review, what we looked at starting in Genesis chapter 1 was the first reference to man, highlighted man's dominion, and that it was over every living thing upon the earth. God made man his under-ruler upon the earth, man having sovereign or supreme authority on earth. That's what dominion means, or a reign, R-E-I-G-N. And the first reference of man tied man's dominion directly to having the Spirit of God. That's what gave man this dominion. But the Spirit, we know, was given conditionally. After a period of time of living perfectly in paradise, Adam and the woman sinned against God by disobeying a direct command. And by doing that, that very day that they ate of the tree, the Spirit of God died. They lost the Spirit. And so in losing the Spirit, they lost dominion. And that dominion was transferred tragically to God's arch enemy, Satan, who since that time has been called the prince of this world, the god of this world. God instituted from that point forward his plan of redemption to help and save mankind. And that, of course, was fulfilled by Jesus Christ many thousands of years later. And Jesus Christ, distinct from all other humans that have ever lived, didn't inherit Adam's sin nature. Jesus Christ, being God's only begotten Son, had sinless blood, innocent blood, and being described in the Bible as being the second Adam. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, had rulership, dominion, and authority over the earth. And we did a study, a pretty extensive study in the first part of this teaching, looking at Jesus Christ exhibiting, him manifesting that dominion. Towards the beginning of his ministry, Jesus Christ, it said, taught, unlike the religious leaders of his day, he taught with authority. And that's what's certainly involved with dominion. He taught with the authority of the word. And he exhibited authority over devil spirits, over diseases and all manners of sickness. He demonstrated the ability, the authority to forgive sins. How wonderful is that? He calmed the seas, demonstrating dominion over nature. He demonstrated dominion over physical lack with the feeding of the 4,000, the 5,000, even wonderfully. One of the records we look at showed his dominion over taxes, over the politics of his day. What a wonderful thing that is. And then, of course, most significantly, being the second Adam, being God's ruler, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ exhibited authority and dominion over death. We looked at many different records where people got so incensed, so opposed to Jesus Christ that they wanted to put him to death, but they couldn't because Jesus Christ had dominion over the devil, over the devil's greatest ploy or tool, which is death. And even up to his death upon the cross, Jesus Christ said, no man's going to take my life from me, but Jesus Christ laid down his life for all of us. He willfully gave his life. Death did not have dominion over him. In fact, in the book of Acts, where we concluded the first part of this teaching, it says that it is impossible that death would hold him. So Jesus Christ exhibited the dominion of man as the second Adam in his first coming. Well, what about now? You know, we know that when you get born again of God's Spirit, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Jesus Christ, the man, has exited this planet. He is seated on the right hand of God. He ascended through the heavens and is awaiting God's direction to return to earth to gather the church. But now Jesus Christ is represented here on earth by those that are born again of the Spirit, those that have Christ in them. Well, what does that mean to us concerning dominion? Well, let's take a look at John chapter 3, and we'll see some great truths here. It says, this is, of course, is Jesus Christ's conversation with one of the rulers of the Jews, one of the members of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus. And Jesus, in verse 3, says to Nicodemus, he answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or a more accurate translation, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's an entry requirement to become a part of God's kingdom, and it is to be born again. Now, the new birth was not available at the time of this conversation with Nicodemus, but it became available after Jesus Christ suffered and gave his life to pay the price for our redemption. So now, ever since Pentecost, the new birth is available. And, you know, you can put this together with verse 3 of John 3, that when a man becomes born from above, he sees the kingdom of God. He enters into the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Well, that's where God reigns. That's where God rules. That's where God's authority is paramount. And it's made up, the word kingdom is made up of course, the word king, but then the suffix dom, which is tied directly to dominion. In other words, the kingdom is the dominion of the king. It's the reign of the king. So when you get the Spirit of God, just like we saw in our last teaching, Adam and Eve, having the Spirit of God, had dominion. Well, we now have been born from above, and with that comes the sonship right, the sonship privilege of dominion. We have entered into the kingdom of God, where God's authority rules, where God reigns. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 5, just over a couple books. The word kingdom is a noun. It's the Greek word basileia, B-A-S-I-L-I-A. But it has another form as a verb here in Romans chapter 5. It's the verb form of basileia is basileo in the Greek, and it's in Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, since the fall of man, there's been a reign, and the reign is of death, because death passed upon all men. For if by one's man's offense, by Adam's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, that's the gift of Holy Spirit, that's being born from above, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now that word reign in Romans 5:17 is the verb form of the word kingdom, which we saw in John chapter 3. So what it's talking about is when you have the gift of Holy Spirit, the gift of, referred to here as the gift of righteousness, when you have that abundance of grace that came by Jesus Christ, that gift of Holy Spirit, you have entered into the kingdom of God, and you can reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That's dominion. Now, the very good question that would come from this, well, how do you do that? You know, it's not automatic. Just like the manifestations are not automatic, or any sonship right or privilege are not automatically manifested, God doesn't come in and start controlling you and, you know, taking over your life. But what do you do so that you can reign in life by one, Jesus Christ? That's a good question. Well, the way that the book of Romans is structured is that the next two chapters from here, Romans 6 and 7, are a parenthesis, they're a parenthetical insert that's put into the book of Romans to tell you how to reign in life by Jesus Christ. And there's wonderful truths. It really, if you read Romans chapter 6 and 7, we're not going to read it all tonight, we're going to read some of it. But if you read Romans 6 and 7, it's all about the fight that's going on between the two natures of the child of God, between the flesh and the spirit, between the old man and the new man. Because now we have two ways to walk. We can walk by the flesh. We can walk by our own understanding. We can walk carnally. Or we can walk by the Spirit. We can walk by the Word of God, and we can walk by the Spirit that God has given us. When we walk by the Spirit of God, we can reign in life. We can exhibit dominion over all the problems that we encounter. And we'll look at Romans chapter 6 while we're here. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Now, oftentimes when people are reading the Bible and they come across the word sin, they think of sinful acts. You know, all the bad stuff that you shouldn't do. But it's also very important to realize that the word sin is used of human nature. It's used of the old nature, that which we inherited from Adam. The old nature is defective. The old nature is foolish. It's a lot of different things that the Bible describes to us. But this is saying... reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Yes, of course, sinful acts, but really to your old nature, to the old man. Reckon the old man buried and crucified with Christ. And then it says, but, and then there's that figure of speech, ellipsis, reckon yourselves alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, how are we alive unto God? Through the gift of Holy Spirit. Reckon yourselves alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin nature, therefore reign, there's that word, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let the old nature reign. They put it to death, like Jesus Christ was put to death. We're identified with his sufferings, with his crucifixion, with his burial. Bury the old nature. And then it says, neither, verse 13, yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, that sin nature, shall not have dominion over you. See again that word dominion. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So you might enjoy this week reading Romans chapter 6 and 7 and then putting it into practice to the best of your ability of putting on the new man, putting on the gift of righteousness, walking by the Spirit of God. And by doing that, you can exhibit the dominion that Jesus Christ has imparted to us through the new birth. This dominion is spoken of in many different places. Look at Mark chapter 16. Jesus Christ prophesied of its coming with the gift of Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 16 is a real wonderful place. Remember, Jesus Christ, one of the places we looked at in the Gospels, Jesus Christ exhibiting dominion, was they were out in a ship and the storm was so bad, the tempest in the sea, it was so bad that his disciples, who were largely fishermen, thought they were going to die. Remember, save us, Lord, we perish. And Jesus Christ awoke from his sound sleep, rebuked the sea, rebuked the storm, and you know everything was just calm. Because Jesus Christ realized the dominion he had over things that could harm them, things that were upon the earth. Well, in Matthew chapter 16, these are instructions that pertain to the after the day of Pentecost. He said unto them, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned or judged. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out what? Devils. Well, that was one of the ways that Jesus Christ exhibited his dominion, wasn't it? Well, now, this is talking about believers doing the work that Jesus Christ once did. The same works that Jesus Christ did, including the casting out of devils, we've been empowered to do. And it says, they shall speak with new tongues. And then verse 18, the word if should be supplied. If they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall, what, recover. Well, is not that dominion regained? Miraculous protection. There's a record in the book of Acts where accidentally the Apostle Paul, he was putting wood on a fire, and he took out a serpent, and the serpent clasped on his hand. Everybody, the pagans that were around him thought he was going to die, and it didn't hurt him. You know, if you drink any deadly thing accidentally, it shall not hurt you. Dominion regained. They lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Power over sickness, power over evil spirits. How about Colossians chapter 1? You know, when you start reading these things and start believing them, it really does set you apart from the world, because this is just totally contrary to the way the natural man thinks or lives. But it's tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ within you. It's believing in the expectation of reigning in life. You know, that with God he makes a way, that there's always something. And there's so many promises in the New Testament that coincide with that dominion being regained. How about, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, says in Philippians. How about having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work, as 2 Corinthians says. Wonderful provision, things being provided by God, everything that you need. Having power and ability, certainly having power and authority over the negatives that we encounter. That's dominion regained by the gift of Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 1, start in verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or he's made us adequate, has made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, or hath given us citizenship into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're part of the kingdom. You know, where God rules, where God's authority reigns. What a great promise and declaration. How about Hebrews chapter 2? Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 14, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, referring to Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, who? The devil. Now, there's a little problem with the translation here. Can you see it? You know, that through Jesus Christ's death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Has the devil been destroyed? No. The devil is clearly very active, clearly doing his thing, just like he has since, you know, time immemorial. But the word destroy has a much better translation and understanding, more accurate translation. It should be translated paralyze, or to, you know, literally render inactive. And that's what happens when people claim their sonship rights, when God's people walk upon the authority of the Word, manifesting who they are in Christ. It's the power of the devil is paralyzed. It's rendered inactive. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We've been delivered from that fear of death because we know that even if we as believers were to fall asleep, that the next conscious moment will be Jesus Christ returning and us seeing him face to face. You know, the death of a believer is just a temporary interruption. It's like the pause button on eternal life. Look at 1 John chapter 4 while we're in this neighborhood. But these verses very wonderfully declare the dominion that the believers have inherited through getting the gift of Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful that the devil is paralyzed? The devil is rendered inactive? Well, how about 1 John chapter 4, perhaps a very familiar verse of Scripture to some of you. Verse 4, it says, ye are of God, little children. Well, what makes us a child? What makes us of God? It's the new birth. You are of God by the new birth. That's what makes you a child of God. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. And this is referring to the devil spirits and their influence and context. But we have overcome them because greater is he that is in you. And the he that is in you is Christ in you, the gift of Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have greater power. We have greater authority. We have dominion regained in our life. Does it mean that we always manifest it? Of course not. Just like all the other abilities that come with the new birth, they have to be exercised. We have to believe God's word and walk as his children. But certainly, potentially, we always have the power to thrive and to live more abundantly. That's part of the new birth package. We have dominion regained as God's people, and we need to learn to reckon the old dead and live by the new man so that we can manifest and reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Look at a couple more. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 2? 2 Corinthians, wonderful, triumphant, great verses of Scripture. It says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Isn't that wonderful that God always causes us to triumph in Christ? And that's what we should believe. That's what we should learn to manifest. To conclude tonight, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And this really is the continuation after the paragraph of chapters, the paragraph of Romans 6 and 7 that's inserted to give us a great explanation of how to manifest and reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And then Romans chapter 8 picks it up again where it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." You know, that's been handled. The condemnation that you get in the first birth that you inherited from Adam, well, it's erased. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We've already been judged righteous in him. So we pick up in verse 26 of Romans 8. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, our weakness, the weakness of our prayer life. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." We know we ought to pray, but we don't always know what to pray for. "But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be understood or cannot be uttered." Boy, the incredible ability that comes in the new birth to be able to pray perfectly by speaking in tongues. "And he that searches the hearts," verse 27, "knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he," or it, "the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And when we speak in tongues, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." He called each and every one of us. "And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And the answer to that is no one. No evil spirit, no evil person, no evil influence, no lack, no situations caused by the God of this world. If God be for us, who can be against us? "Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" All good things. Whatever things we need, all good things God promises to give unto his people. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" God that justifies? No. "Who is he that condemns?" Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? No. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" They might try, but can they do the job? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Is that true? No, it isn't. Verse 37 says so. Nay. Emphatically, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, we are in a present evil world, a present evil age, the word says. You know, this is a dark and perverse kingdom that is run by the adversary. There's a lot of challenges, and there's a lot of them that are we just read that have been listed here that oppose mankind's well-being. But in all these things, when we encounter them, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's dominion regained, to be more than a conqueror. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Adam once was separated from God by the loss of Holy Spirit. But that which has brought us into God's kingdom, the gift of Holy Spirit, being born from above, we cannot be separated from God anymore. It's incorruptible seed. We will always be his children. God in the manifestations earlier said, I am always with you. I will never leave you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Things might try. The devil is very, you know, very wily in what he does. He's very experienced, of course. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And by the Spirit of God, as we walk by that Spirit, as we walk with the authority of a Son of God, we can manifest the dominion that Jesus Christ purchased has regained. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful message of deliverance that the Bible brings to us, particularly the church epistles, of who we are in Christ, of what we have, of our sonship rights and abilities, what the new birth is. And, Father, it's our very identity. And, Father, brings us great power and great triumph in this life. And, Father, we're thankful to know that when Jesus Christ returns, that all of us will be gathered into heaven in perfection for eternity, and Father, spend the rest of that eternity always being with our Lord and Savior. So Father, we're thankful for this night of fellowship to once again open the book in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.